that choice was his to live with, but it is not a reflection on the fairness of the rules of this process. His suggestion to the contrary is disingenuous. His conduct this last week, though, is not why I'm voting to convict him. He came down here, he said, "There's no evidence. I did nothing wrong." It's pretty clear he extorted or attempted to extort from the caregivers of sick children $50,000 before he would give your taxpayers' dollars to the sick kids. He came down and wrapped himself in the Constitution, spent the whole week talking about his rights under the Constitution, seeming to neglect the fact that they don't apply in this instance. But forgetting that for a second, what about the First Amendment? What about the freedom of the press? The man is on tape trying to buy off and get people fired out of the very press. The First Amendment, the very first one they gave. But he's a big fan of the Constitution. He's a hypocrite. He sold jobs. We've heard about the public trust, the selling of jobs. Aliada. I plunk $25,000 on a desk in front of him. I get to be the Illinois Finance Authority chairman. The federal jury in the Tony Resco trial heard that same testimony. Cross-examination, everything in a criminal trial, every advantage. They bought it. They convicted Tony Resco on the charges that testimony was pertinent to. That is tested. He sold that job. The U.S. Senate seat. Is there any question, any real question in anybody's mind that the thing he saw as bleeping golden, he planned to use for his own benefit, not the people of the state of Illinois? I don't think so. It's been said that true character is doing the right thing when you don't realize that anybody is looking, or perhaps more fittingly here, listening. I thought the House prosecutor's comments about the Rod Blagojevich on camera and the Rod Blagojevich on tape, or off camera, were compelling. He showed us the true test of his character on those tapes. Who he was down here, a Frank Capra wannabe, is a lie. He failed the test of character. He is beneath the dignity of the state of Illinois. He is no longer worthy to be our governor, and I urge everybody here on behalf of the people I represent to vote to remove him from office. Thank you.
Senator Duffy.
Thank you, Mr. President. As a freshman senator, let me say it has been an interesting first month in office. It is an honor to represent the people of the 26th District and to sit here in their chair. I have heard over the past few days how the governor has traded official acts in exchange for personal profit and campaign contributions. He did this many times in a variety of ways. I have also heard how the governor violated state and federal laws. The governor's speech today was incredible, a very passionate political speech. But it doesn't change the facts. The governor's actions show a pattern of abuse which clearly tramples over the Illinois Constitution and violates his oath of office. The testimony presented definitely warrants the governor's removal from office. But what confuses me is that the testimony shows that this abuse of power has been going on for years, and that many people in this government and in this chamber had to have known about it. According to the governor's speech today, he said that what he did in conjunction with the Democratic Senate leadership. He said he couldn't have done any of this without their help and support. The Auditor General's testimony yesterday reflects how deep and how widespread the corruption has gone. How is it that the majority in this chamber, the same people who have presented this case reflecting years of corruption, are the same people that have praised the governor by giving him 3 pay raises over the past 2 years. 3 raises since the 2006 election, increasing the governor's salary by almost 18%, at the same time that all this documented corruption was taking place. Mr. President, we have just scratched the surface of corruption. The governor did not and could not have done all this without a lot of help. We must implement clear and concise transparency laws in this state. Every single government check written, whether for payroll, bills, or expenses, should be posted on the internet on a website for all to see. Voters should have the ability to recall, if necessary, any elected official in this state. And we should have a whistleblower's hotline for all legislators, staff, and lobbyists to call if they suspect or know of any corruption that's taking place. This hotline should be maintained by a non-political appointment who will keep names anonymous and offer rewards for convictions. This is just the beginning, Mr. President, and we have a lot of work to do. Thank you.
Senator Lauzon.
Thank you, Mr. President. Like many of us in this chamber, I could not properly serve in the Senate without the active help and support of my family and our very competent staff. I'm eternally grateful to my wife, Sarah, who's here today on her birthday, and the many good people who have devoted their careers to honestly serving the people of Illinois. Abby, Kim, Fran, Tom, Kiyoshi, Phil, Bamba, Nancy, Chris, Jeannie, Linda, Tara, and thousands more who do their jobs properly every day, along with their families, too. Today, we are examining our collective conscience. We have been summoned to judge what the Illinois Constitution, Article 5, Section 8, literally calls the supreme executive power in our state. Last night, before my wife and I went home, with the help of our staff and modern technology, Sarah and I called 34,300 of our constituents to listen to their opinions and advice. At one point in the conversation, 3,600 of we the people gathered together on the phone considering what those of us in this chamber will conclude today. We asked the question, should the governor be convicted or acquitted in his impeachment trial? The verdict in this one unscientific poll was 80%, 4 out of every 5 participants, convict. 12% acquit, 8% were uncertain. I believe that now I generally know where the people I serve stand. But our direction in a constitutional republic is not do a poll and report back to the Senate floor. We each took an office in this, we each took an oath in this trial to do justice under the law. But which law? What is just? From Moses in the old law, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth? Or Plato, Socrates, and Callicles in the Republic, the struggle between the expedient might makes right, or the ideal of right makes might? Or Jesus in the new law, only judge as you will be judged? Aquinas in the Middle Ages, do good to others, injure no one, and render to every man his own? Or Immanuel Kant's categorical imperative, the moral command to act as if the maxim of thy action were to become by thy will a universal law of nature, basically do unto others as you would have done to you? Or is it most simply, as our chief Supreme Court Judge Tom Fitzgerald suggested on the first day in his opening remarks, the essence of justice is fairness. And fairness is balance, duty, and equality. You know, in natural law, there is good and evil, and we can judge a tree by its fruit. The good produces peace, prosperity, and calm. The bad yields conflict, scarcity, and anxiety. On Tuesday, when we heard the wiretap tapes for the first time, I looked around these ornate Senate chambers. I watched and felt the reactions of especially our guests in the gallery and members of the audience who have not become as callous as perhaps some of us had become to politics as usual. There was a hushed silence that felt like the air and the remaining innocence of this chamber were being sucked out. There was shock and the most profound sadness. If a room could cry, there would have been tears flowing down the aisles. The absence of any good shocked, silenced, and saddened. But the presence of justice is equality. Fairness is my cutting an apple and letting you choose which half you'd like. Fairness under any constitutional law and duty is not conspiring to sell government jobs and appointments for campaign contributions. Fairness is not selfishly, recklessly, and consistently and deliberately ignoring the three-part checks and balance of constitutional law to get what you want for your own political aggrandizement. It is not trampling on the U.S. and Illinois Constitution. In the end, honor means that our word is our bond. When a governor places one hand on a Bible, lifts the other hand to swear, I, Rod Blagojevich, do solemnly swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Illinois, and that I will faithfully discharge the duties of office of the governor to the best of my ability, we all trust that he will keep his word to 12.5 million people who rely on him. The governor has broken repeatedly his oath of office. Our own oaths of office require us to support and protect our Constitution. Our consciences and judgment demand that we convict the governor of impeachment.
Senator Delgado.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the Senate. Mr. President, speaking on behalf of the constituents of the 2nd Legislative District of Humboldt Park, Belmont Craig, and Hermosa communities, of communities that are made up of rich and proud cultures of hard working class families, middle class, some of them underemployed, many of them with small businesses, but many of them with the need of having access to health care. And I sit in the Senate chair that was occupied by a now city clerk of the city of Chicago that walked me through 15 years ago and had me help sponsor health fairs in my community. And today, and last year, this summer, celebrated a 15th year serving thousands of those who are hard to serve and hard to locate and provide the necessary back-to-school physicals and the needs of adults. Yet it saddens me to see so many people with needs, to feel that still, as frustrating, as someone said earlier, but as frustrating as it is to try to get those services, not only in my community, but in many of yours, if it was on the Rural Task Force for Healthcare, developing a workforce developments in the farm communities and downstate communities. However, with that frustration, I still had to pass a bill to make any policy changes, to make any statute changes here in the General Assembly. I still had to file that bill and get it through rules. I still had to file that bill, and once it came out of rules, I had to go in front of many of you in committees and then bring it back for your review of the whole chamber and then of the House of Representatives. But I started in the House of Representatives, and I've dedicated my 10 years that I've been in the General Assembly to human services and health care, to see the faces of many families, children who have diseases that may take their life. But still, the challenge remains of passing a bill and getting it funded and convincing all of my colleagues that this is necessary. But no matter how frustrating it is, there's a process, and the integrity of that process, my communities have always distrusted. And now we're finally at the table, and we're all working hand in hand from as far south of Effingham to the city of Chicago and north to McHenry. But today, we find ourselves in a very, very sad day in the state of Illinois. And my communities and those communities who have worked so hard to make sure when they get up every day, they don't get the breaks that many of us, or they think that we get here. But let me say, we're here to restore, and when I got elected, it was to restore that public trust, to make sure that our communities are at the table and not on the menu. Because many times, it is my communities that suffer these distractions and realize that we have to do the right thing. And yes, we talk about health care. I was the chief sponsor of the Health Care Justice Act in the House of Representatives, and the now President, Barack Obama, was the chief sponsor here in the Senate. And we made that available. And now today I sit here in shame and with this and disconnect to the fact that I see it in shambles. I see a distrust to do the basic thing, and that is to provide health care. But I know better. I know that everybody understands that we have a process that must be respected, a process that I've learned to accept when I thought, why doesn't government work for my communities? Why doesn't it work for the poor of the poorest? But yet I understand if you do it right, you can get it done. If you share and stay true to your word, people will listen. But most importantly, tell them like it is, because where I come from, we have to be brutally honest to be able to get where I'm at, let alone to be able to walk safely down the streets. There must be trust. And that's why we have rules in our society. And that's why today I am put in a position as the now chairman of public health in the Senate, as I was chair of human services in the House, to have to make a decision that is that has to deal with the small politics of this state and any part of our country. However, I caution everyone to make sure we look in each other's eyes so we can see your soul and understand it's time to move forward. And, Mr. President, it saddens me, but in my communities, we prefer to file a bill and get the work done through the process that exists today. Thank you.
Senator Cronin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Chief Justice Fitzgerald, House Prosecutors, Illinois House of Representatives, members, the constitutional framers who understood the need for this extraordinary measure called impeachment. I do not delight in my task here today, but I do welcome it. It's my responsibility. I believe the evidence is clear and compelling. After 6 years of enduring this governor, watching the process of state government deteriorate seriously and dramatically, all the while this governor, as the evidence has shown, totally immersed himself in contracts and appointments and schemes to demand campaign cash in exchange for official acts. So unfortunate. So unfortunate.